She donated her kidney to an ex-teacher that she couldn't stand.
Really?
She's on the phone right now from Long Island, Montana Miller. Are you still living on the island?
Hi there. Hey. Hi, Chaz and AJ. Nice to meet you.
Good morning. Same to you.
I am currently in Long Island. That's where I live with my partner, but I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Ah,
okay.
Maybe.
And your teacher was Massachusetts or Long Island?
Massachusetts, yeah. So I grew up in a small town in Central Mass, and in fifth and sixth grade, I had Mr. Grosky for English, and at the time...
Mr. Grosky?
Yeah, his name is Mitch Grosky. Yep, Mr. Grosky.
Did you have a nickname for him?
You know, we didn't need one with a name like that.
Okay.
Yeah, Grosky.
Grouchy Grosky.
Right.
I wasn't the only one who didn't... You know, he was a new teacher at the time, and he had been teaching high school before that. And, you know, if you talk to him today, he'll say that he was really just figuring it out. Like, he hadn't quite realized that kids need to be treated, you know, as individuals and not all treated in the exact same way. But he was trying to be fair. And I happened to be the daughter of the local newspaper publishers and editors. So, Chaz, I know you've been working in radio since you were, like, a teenager, right? 13 or something?
Would you investigate me?
Good heavens.
Well, I'm a researcher. I'm a professor. I looked up, of course. I wanted to know who I was talking to. But, you know, at the time that you were growing up doing radio, I grew up in a newspaper family. So imagine being the kid of editors and writing teachers and then be stuck in a class where everyone has to read the same thing and do the same homework.
Oh.
And I was just like stifled. And so I also didn't really know how to keep my mouth shut because I was also like the kid of newspaper publishers and editors. And
you're
so
starting
was, like,
to put this on you, but you said you weren't the only kid who had a problem with Mr. Grosky.
Yeah.
He was nobody's favorite at the time. But you know what? He has changed so much, and I shouldn't even say that because I'm sure he was always a wonderful person. But
you're a nice person.
It's because he used to suck at some time.
It's weird when you hear a nice person talk. You're like, wow, you're from another planet. Like I hear Ruth say stuff. I'm like, you're from another planet
in a good way.
No.
Yeah.
But I'm actually not somebody that believes that all people are good. But I do think that it's hard for somebody who's really bad to change to somebody who's really good. And so I think he had that good person inside him, but he had a lot going on at the time. And, you know, what did I know? I was 10 years old. So I just saw like the sweaty, red-faced, angry, you know, redhead who like would never open the windows and the room was always too hot. But this
That's
is
scary.
Funny, not funny. This is the strange
like an angry tomato.
What else did he do to make the kids like... Not really
like him. Yeah.
Oh my God. I shouldn't tell you this because.
Please.
Yeah.
One of my friends from middle school was just talking to me yesterday and told me her main memory of him is that he made her write 250 times. I will not be late to class. Like he was that kind of teacher. He was strict, but here's the weird thing. I remember him always being sweating and yelling and hot. And it turns out, I did not know this at the time, but he was on high doses of ibuprofen for knee pain, and he wasn't hydrating enough. And this is actually what destroyed his kidneys.
Okay.
And so all these years later, he has kidney failure. We reconnected over Facebook, you know, about 10 years ago or so. And then I was training. I'm a championship skydiver, and I was training at a drop zone next door to his town and saw that he was on Facebook and that he was a great photographer. And I said, why don't you come to the drop zone and take some pictures of the parachutes, which he did. And then I went back to his house and had lunch with him and realized, like, he's a wonderful guy.
Is he still sweaty?
So proud of me for, like, all the stuff I've done since then.
He didn't make you write 250 times, I will not jump out of airplane.
Very good. Then I learned that he was really sick. I'd already become friends with him. So, you know, we reconnected. I realized he was a great guy. We became friends. We started kind of bonding over all kinds of things and talking about musical theater and like all these things that we had in common and realizing that we were actually like really great friends. And then I find out he's like got stage 4 kidney disease. And it turns out, you know, his kids are adopted. No one in his family was compatible. And he had put out this public plea on Facebook asking for somebody to try to get tested and see if they were a match for him. And then I saw that like hundreds of people had commented on this Facebook post.
Thoughts and prayers.
Right. Yeah, right. Thoughts and prayers. Good luck, Mitch.
Positive vibes your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All the vibes. Right. And, you know, just like when I was 10 years old, I was unable to keep my mouth shut. Like back then, I used to, you know, criticize him in class and really probably embarrass him in front of the class.
That's why he's all sweaty. Yeah. Yeah.
I did the exact same thing. I haven't changed a bit. I commented on his post. What's with all these thoughts and prayers? Like, why isn't anybody asking how they can help you? And it's weird. At the time, I thought that I was type B blood, which would mean that I was not compatible to donate to him. But I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong. I can't really remember. So I went to give blood, found out my blood type. Turned out I was type O, universal donor. And so then I signed up to do the whole bunch of tests to see if your kidney function is good. And never did I think that I would actually be healthy enough to be approved to be a donor. But it turned out I'm so lucky. I just happened to be healthy enough at this moment in my life that they approved me. And when I found out that I was actually tissue compatible with him, which is like extremely rare, like what are the odds of that? Then it really just
can you pick which kidney you want to give? Like right hand, left hand side,
like a Twix.
Exactly right.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm curious.
Question.
Can you,
Montana? I'm sorry.
No. It's legit.
Question.
Is it a good question?
Legit. Yeah.
It's a great question.
And you guys, a year ago, I knew nothing about kidneys. I didn't even realize you could donate one. I knew nothing. So the learning curve for me this year has been incredible. But in answer to your question, the surgeon looks at the CAT scan of your kidneys and he picks the one that is going to be like easier to get out because some kidneys have a bunch of connections and arteries and others have fewer. So with each person, it would be different. They preferably take the one that's on the left because the liver is on the right. I learned all this.
So you balance out better?
Right. But they had to take my right one because I had a little bit of a like abnormality in the right kidney.
Montana, and you'll appreciate this because you come from like a printing family, news family. It's not a great question because no one is going to walk into work and say, did you hear that incredible interview? They took the left kidney.
See,
no
I found
one
it fascinating.
Cares about this part of the story.
I found that fascinating.
It's the amazing journey of you not liking your fifth grade teacher and then reconnecting later in years. And then you see this post and you open your mouth. And then it turns out that you're not the same blood type, but you are a match.
Right.
And then what happened?
Taz, did you know that now Mitch has three kidneys and I have one?
He has three of them?
That's how it works. They don't remove one of his. And this is like I learned this a week before the surgery. They don't take out one of the recipient's kidneys. They just stick yours in like a little pocket down near their groin where there's room for it because they don't want to cause him additional. And so that's why his kidney function is now up to fucking 86%.
Wait. Hold on. I have to hit the dump button. You don't print words like that in your family newspaper, do you? She just dropped the F-bomb. She's so excited about this.
Right.
Well, his kidney function is up to effing what?
So the day of the surgery, it was 18%.
Uh-huh.
A week later, it was up to 86%.
Man, you get a good kidney.
Oh, my God.
You get a good kidney, yeah.
What is yours at now?
Well, so mine's like down in the 40s or 50s because my bereft soul kidney that's left.
Well, they took your good one.
Oh, no.
Well, they have to realize, like the one that I have left has to realize it's on its own. So it's got to ramp up its production, right?
Oh, gotcha.
It could take up to a year for it to do that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mr. Grosky has his two old kidneys, right? But they're not like killing him. They're just not working very well. Yes. So they're sitting up there in him like Statler and Waldorf, like heckling my little one that's like just arrived.
Rubbish.
And if you add like the 18% that his old guys are doing and my young new one is doing, then that adds up to a pretty healthy 86%.
Damn.
He's doing
great.
It's great. And you know, I just have to say, like, I remember that when I was 10 years old, Mr. Grosky used to talk about having just adopted a little baby named Mariah. And I remember, like, it was so weird how he seemed to be so in love and enamored with this baby when he was always so angry at us. And a few weeks ago, I finally got to meet this woman. She's a little younger than me. Like, she's in her 40s. I'm 55. And she is so amazing. And she loves her dad so much. And she thought she was going to lose him. And then I just kind of came out of the blue, and it seemed to her like, who is this woman, this like trapeze artist skydiver who arrives and is like somehow a match for my dad and saves his life. And now he's probably going to live another 10, 15 years. And I was able to save this woman's dad for her.
Oh my God.
It means so much to me because I love my dad so much. And my greatest fear is losing him. And to think of how she must have felt, thinking that he had no options, and that, you know, the kidney transplant list is 7 years long. He would not make it.
Yeah. Wow. So now he has three kidneys.
I just felt like this is an incredible privilege. And honestly, my greatest fear this whole year has been that something would happen to not like allow this to happen. Like they would find something wrong, or that, you know, he would develop antibodies against me or something.
They reject it.
But, up until the moment they wheeled me into the operating room, the only fear I felt was, will something go wrong so that they can't take my kidney out and give it to him?
I wish we can bottle you up and sell you to everybody.
Right.
We need more of you.
That's true, yeah.
You know, we all need to.
You know,
there's less of you now, but
you are a
treat.
Now you're going to see the angry side of me. You know what we need less of? Rags like the LongIsland.com that plagiarize the articles of a journalist like Joe Wilkinson from the Daily Voice and print his article almost word for word, changing some words around, putting Chris Boyle's byline on it and saying that that's their work. That is plagiarism. That just happened a few hours ago. And I don't think I'm going to be able to reach anyone at longisland.com, but I would like all your listeners to know that I gave consent to have my kidney cut out of me. I did not give consent to have my life story plagiarized by some hack.
I love you, by the way. I want you back.
Right.
There are more things we need to talk about with you.
Yeah.
And your story, by the way, is some kind of a mini series, or it's more than just an article in a radio interview.
Yeah,
this
more
is
to it.
Really, it's so inspiring, and you're such a good storyteller. Aww. I can't wait to have you back on.
To come back.
All right.
You know, we need to talk about when you started in radio, Chaz. It was around the time that Loveline was on. Remember, Dr. Phil?
Yeah, Loveline. Yeah.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew. Yeah.
Dr. Drew and Adam. I was in graduate school at UCLA at the time, and they had me on as a guest. And they gave me hell, and I would love to tell you about that.
Okay. No, there's multiple reasons to have you on. Trapeze.
Right. Love line.
Jumping out of planes.
Yep.
Love line.
Yeah. Extra kidney.
Okay.
Yep.
Can't wait to have you back. Ruth will be in touch. Montana, you're terrific. Thank you. It's Montana Miller, everybody.